everything with Glenda and all that business going on, kind of extra details you have to take care of during the week. So it worked out that I had this one stashed away back from a few weeks ago, and that'll be fine for us anyway. This morning, I spilled the beans on Santa Claus. Tonight, I'm busting out the Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy. anyway, sorry about that. Kyle cried all the way home. He was all upset about it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, our service this morning, and our privilege that we have to be here. Once again, we certainly want to lift Bruce up to you, Lord. Got a burden upon him, Lord, that it's hard to imagine to bear now. And Lord, but we know you can give him strength, Lord. Give him grace as needed. Norma's family as well. I know there's others that that need you, Lord. Be with us tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Equip us to be ready, Lord, to be a help to others. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "The Records God Keeps." The records God keeps. The scene that I read about Revelation 20, 11 through 15, it's taken place after the millennial reign, after the tribulation period. That's the way we see it. It's the judgment of the lost there. There's nobody that's a believer at that judgment that we see, the great white throne judgment. And I want to talk about that in just a few minutes. But I wanted you to notice in verse 12, this is really kind of where I was in my head or heart when I was getting this message together, what I really wanted to look at. And verse 12 said, this one statement, it says, "And the books were opened." So there's a scene at the judgment of the lost at the great white throne, and the Bible says that the books were open. And that tells us a couple of things. I know since it's plural, there's more than one book, and that, you know, one of the books at least is a book of records, that God is keeping records. Now, God doesn't have to keep records in the same way we do. You know, we have to write things down so we won't forget them. Then we write them down, Stanley, and we write them down so we won't forget them, and then we can't remember where we put them when we wrote them down, and we need to write it down for that, right? I do the same thing. We do that. But God is writing, God is keeping records. They're written down for a testimony to the world. They'll be recorded for all time. And, you know, I really thought about this a lot because I think, you know, a lot of people live, and even Christian people live their lives like, you know, that God doesn't keep records, that God doesn't is not going to remember what's going on the world or what's going on with our lives. But he does, and he keeps records. Listen, as I said, he'll remember, but he has it written down. There's things written down for the saved, and there's things written down for lost. He's got the records. It's all going to be on record, and nothing is going to go unnoticed. Nothing's going to go unrecorded. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple," he said, "verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So God would take, God would notice that someone, I think there's another verse that talks about giving a cold drink of cold water to little ones, little children, I think. And what he's saying there is that, listen, just something as minute as giving someone a cup of water, he said, in a disciple's name, not even in Jesus' name, he said, gives them a drink, a cup of water, he said, they're going to get a reward for it. I'm going to remember it. He said, I'm going to remember that. So, you know, obviously everything that we do, great or small, that, you know, God is aware of those things. This person that he's talking about in Matthew 10 will not lose his reward because it will be recorded. And so, you know, we see these books open. There's judgments dealt with, and there's rewards given. And this it has nothing to do here on either count for the judgment of the saved or in judgment for the lost, because the saved have a judgment too. It has nothing to do with salvation. It's, you know, God's not keeping records, in other words, to decide. As far as lost people go, the lost people that stand before the great white throne on judgment day, you know, God's not trying to decide whether, you know, the works that they have are going to add up enough to where they're going to get to go to heaven or get, you know, or hell. I mean, that's already decided. They're lost. There is degrees to punishment, though. You know, I thought about this, and I was thinking about things we say sometimes. You know, we get it ingrained in our head. Well, sin's sin, and all sin is sin, and there's no sin worse than the other. I got to disagree there according to that verse right there. Because you know what it says? It says, you know what, that they're going to be judged according to their works, you know, to the degree of punishment they would get, they would receive. So apparently, you know, you could, if you live a more wicked life, I believe your punishment's going to be worse than, you'll still, you won't be in heaven either way, which would be a bad enough reward. So it looks like, it appears to me that there's, why have a judgment on your works if it's all the same? It's not the same. But as far as salvation goes, we're not going to see how that stacks up either. And the lost are still going to be lost, no matter how much good they have done, because they rejected Jesus Christ, and that's the only reason, that's the one reason that they're lost. And the saved are going to be judged according to their works. What they did for God has to do with their rewards too. And I'll talk about that as we go a little farther. You know, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble's going to burn up. Gold, silver, precious stones is going to remain. And so there's some other sides of that. But there's at least three books that I looked at. It says books, it's plural. There's at least three books, and that's where I really want to get to gist of the message tonight. I don't think it'll be too long, which is okay. But looking, didn't have this as a main text, but I want to look at both of them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you can just listen to me or you can follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Yeah, there you go. If I get to the right verse, it makes sense. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now look here, this is a letter to the Corinthian church. So it says, we must all appear. That is Christians. That's all the saints. This isn't lost people. That tells us that because this is a letter to Christian folks. It's a letter to a church. He said, we Christians must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This isn't the great white throne judgment that we just read about in Revelation. This is a book that's open, the book of deeds. The very first book is the book of deeds. We're all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So that tells us right here as a Christian that God's got a book of deeds. He's got a book written down with all of our deeds written down, whether they be good or bad. It's not going to determine whether you're going to heaven. You're in. This is saved people at this one here. It's not the great white throne judgment. Let me get my spot on that. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Save people there, no lost people there. He's just going to judge our works. There's going to be rewards in heaven. And then also, back up just a little bit, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and this goes along with this, it'd be the same thing. We're still talking to a church, still talking to the Corinthian church, which would also apply to us. Verse 11, he said, 11 through 15, he says, for no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means everybody's going to see it. For the day, and that day there's the judgment day, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And see, so that verse right there is telling me, listen, that you're going to suffer loss. It's not physical loss, it's loss of rewards that's going to take place. And so we see in the text that, you know, we build upon the foundation Jesus Christ. And so God, and involved in that, listen, it's a lot deeper than what I'm going to give it to you tonight. You know, but motive is involved. You know, like what it looks like we're doing for Jesus Christ, God sees in here. See, and so if we're doing it for our selfish pride, for man's applause, wood, hay, stubble, burn it up. You're not going to get a reward for that. If you're doing it because you love the Lord and you're doing it because you love the lost and you're building upon that foundation, Jesus Christ, with the right motive, and God's not looking for perfection, but I mean, at least you got the right motive, the right direction, then there's going to be a reward. And so that's really what that's trying to point out right there. So we got this book of deeds that's opened up. So remember, as saved people, like I say, a lot of people think, boy, I made it, man, I'm saved, that's it, and I don't have nothing else to worry about. Well, it's not nothing that you have to worry about. I don't know about you, man. My pastor used to say this. He'd say it this way. He said, man, I don't know what kind of rewards, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I don't know what all is going to get, but whatever I'm supposed to get, that's what I want to get. I don't want to be up there not getting, I don't have nothing. Didn't have nothing to show for Jesus Christ. Just got into heaven and didn't have any rewards, didn't do anything with what God, I don't want to be standing up there like that. So whatever God has for us, as he said, that's what I want. I believe that's a good way to look at it right there. But it tells us this, that every man's work in verse 13 shall be made manifest. That means that we're going to stand before God one day as believers now, and we're going to get an account of our life, I believe, from salvation, because we already know that everything else is under the blood, the whole thing. And we didn't know any better until we got saved and we received the Holy Ghost of God. So I believe what's going to happen, we're going to give an account of our life from the time we got saved on. God's not going to worry about behind it. But I think from the time we got saved, we're going to give an account of that life. Because, we know, and especially, when you know what not to do and what to do, you know some things and you still go on and do. And God's going to say, you're going to have to answer for that. And he said they're going to be made manifest. That means it's going to be seen. It's come to light. You see, because we do stuff now. Ain't nobody looking. Nobody knows. Huh? Right. But God's, God's just going to be made manifest. Yeah, it's going to be made manifest. It'll come to light. We'll stand before Jesus Christ, everyone, give an account of our Christian life. What would we do? The great illustrations in the Bible, the talents, the parable of the talents. Of course, that talents is talking about money. It's talking about what you did to men that had the talents. We can, there's a play on words in the English language. The talents, the gifts that God has given to us as salvation. What do we do with that? I know people that can sing pretty good, but they won't do all they could do with their voice for God. They'll kind of just, but not what they could do. And if we hold back with what the talent that we have, we won't use it for God. We're going to have to give an account for that because God's the one that gave us the gift. He didn't give it to us to hoard. That's the parable of the talents, money talents, is actually a teaching on whatever God has given to us. Could be money, but it could be, it's a lot of times it's gifts. Obviously, he didn't give most of us that much money. So it could be that. And so, when you think, we have to appear, 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Corinthians chapter. Put my bookmarkers in. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that I read already, it says that we must all appear. We must all appear. We're going to be, we're not going to get by with it. We're not going to do that. We're not going to get by with it. And in 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest. And what I was saying, we have to appear. It's going to be seen. We're going to be seen. And what we didn't do, what our motive was, what our heart was, how deep our love for Christ is, coldness, laziness, indifference. All that thing's going to be exposed. And there's going to be stuff that we've done. I believe that there'll be things that we did. I can, done things with the wrong attitude. Huh? Oh, I've mowed the grass so aggravated. I mowed the grass around the church here. I was so aggravated when I was mowing it. Ain't no way in the world I get a reward. Why me? I'm the only pastor in the whole cotton-picking county. You got to be out here mowing the grass and weed eating. I bet you Kevin Cummings over at Fincastle Baptist ain't out there mowing the grass. Yeah, man. I don't think I'm going to get it. God's not going to reward that. I had to reel myself in and say, hey, who are you doing this for? Well, I'm doing it for you. Well, if I'm doing it for God, it doesn't matter, right? And so that'll be affected. And we think about rewards. He said every man will be rewarded. It said that. And I don't know what all the rewards are going to be. I think, this is just my opinion, so if I had a commentary, if I wrote a commentary, this would be it. I think there's going to be rewards that we don't know about. There'll be some spiritual things that we don't know, everything that what God has for us. But there's, you know, I know there's some things along, they'll all be good. I would say that, they'll all be good. I know that there's going to be crowns. You know, there's a pastor's crown. I have a pastor's crown. That people that aren't pastors won't have that. There's martyr's crowns, people that lost their life for their faith in Jesus Christ. They're going to have a crown. Yeah, there's all kind. There's a bunch of crowns. I've heard messages on all the crowns. I forget how many there are. I think Margie's not here tonight. Margie knows. I think one time we talked about it. But, you know, I think one of the things that's going to be a reward is praise from God. We'll be praised by God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Think about that. Is that going to be what God's going to say about your life? Huh? Well, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or, well, sort of good, kind of halfway faithful, some of the time servant. I mean, you know, what that? I think that'll be a reward. Praise, and that's going, you know, praise from God would certainly be a reward. You know, when you think about what rewards will we have for what we have done for God, that's something to think about. And you know, like I say, we can hide things down here and excuses, man. I think I could write a book. I want to write a book. This would be a good church bestseller, pastors would. On the excuses that you hear for why either people can't be faithful or why they can't serve God and, you know, those type things. The excuses why they can't do anything for God. There's some far-fetched stuff out there. It would make a good book. But there's not going to be any excuses, you know, because God's going to know. He knows the reasons. He knows our motives. He knows what, you know, there's no hiding these things when we stand before God. So there's the book of deeds. The second book that'll be there is the book of life. Back in Revelation, Revelation I read in 20, verse 11. Just look right at 21, verse 27. The Bible says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it," it's talking about heaven, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Man, I mean, you know, this is a book, the book of life, or the Lamb's book of life, as it's called right there. I mean, listen, this is another book that's going to be open, and this is the book that counts. The name has to be written in the Lamb's book of life, and this is talking about who will be in heaven. It's not by works. It says, but you know, notice what it said there: nothing that defileth. Or no one who worketh in abominations. Now, if you want to do a real good word study for you, sometimes if there's neat things to do, if you get bored just reading along in your Bible, sometimes if you want to do a study in your Bible, do word studies. That's a cool thing to do. Do a word study on abomination and defile or defileth or abominations. You got to be real specific on a word study. Do a word study on those things and see what God says is an abomination. And see what God says defileth. And he said nothing that has an abomination or defileth is going to enter into heaven. And I'm going to tell you what, man, there's plenty of people that are naming the name of Christ in this world today. They're saying, boy, they're saved and they're going to even churches and doing things. But I'm going to tell you what, in their life, they are committing abomination in their life, their lifestyle, and defiling themselves with the world. It said right there, nothing that defileth or making abomination is going to enter in. Their name will not be written down in the Lamb's book of life. And so this is the book, you know, that's really going to count. And here's the thing. This is, like I said, you know, God's not looking for perfection. But I believe this. People that are born again have been regenerated. There's another word that's used, regeneration. And we have been crucified with Christ and we have been resurrected to a new life. And I'm going to tell you what, man, there's repentance that is involved in a true salvation, that we have repented from the abominations and things that defile. I mean, you know, perfection, no, but I'm talking about a lifestyle, a habit, a habitual lifestyle. Those things will be, you know, that's not going to be true. And like I said this morning, there's too many people sitting on church pews. Been on church pews and church rolls and church books, and that's not the one that's going to be opened up there in heaven, by the way. They're not going to open up a book that says Valley View Baptist on it, see who belongs to that. There's too many people on church names and church rolls that are their life has not one iota been altered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing been affected in their life by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't tell me that's a saved person. Huh? You can't tell me their names are, you know, we're not getting to heaven by works, but I'm going to tell you something. When we get saved, there's some things that take place in the life of a born-again believer. Born-again, a born-again believer, a new life, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your heart. You know, there has to be some fruit that would be produced, you know, by that in a person's life. And so we see that their names, the people that are saved, their names are going to be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. I don't know how it's all going to go down. Just use my imagination a lot. But I don't know, and I don't know where Satan, if Satan's going to be doing any accusing, but and God wouldn't have to do this, but just for our sanctified imaginations, Satan would say, hey, look, that guy don't belong. And the Lord opened that book up right there. Here's his name written right down here, right here. See that? See that, Satan? He's in. Huh? That's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, covered by the blood, and we understand that. So that book's going to be open. No going to be. See, there's not any negotiations going to be taking place, I guess, what I'm trying to say. And then the third book that will be there is the Book of God, John chapter 12, verse 48 says, listen to this, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Listen, you know what book's going to be open? This book right here. This is God's book right here. The Word of God is going to be another one of the books that's open right there. And see, and I know this, but I know that there's going to be silence, and I know that you're not going to be standing, you, the proverbial you, hopefully not you, the proverbial you, people that are lost, are not going to be standing up there dickering with God, having an argument, you know, back and forth with God about, yeah, but, you know, and I am, you know, they're going to be silent. Their mouth is going to be shut for once. Huh? And God's going to say, and everything, their works on at the great white throne, their works are going to be manifest. And God's going to say, look right here. You see that verse right there? You went against that verse. You didn't listen to the word. You didn't listen to the word. This book will be opened up. And the word of God, the lost are going to be judged according to the very word that they rejected. That's a powerful verse right there, John 12, 48. That's a powerful verse. I believe every scripture that a person ever heard, and they rejected that scripture, that'll be brought to their attention. Every gospel message, every time they heard a gospel message, and they refused to accept Christ or resisted coming forward for salvation, every tract that they ever read, every sermon they ignored, every opportunity to believe, I believe those all passed before their mind. Be the Word of God right there. See, God doesn't condemn people to hell. We were talking about this in Sunday school class. They condemn themselves. They pass judgment on their own selves because they reject the very Word of God. There's nothing else left. You rejected it. Man, God could just give them John 3:16. Everybody that rejected that, you didn't believe it. You didn't listen. He gave them this verse right here. The verse that I just read, John 12, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He gave him that verse right there. You didn't listen to that. And that's why there won't be any arguments. You ever done something stupid and there's nothing else you can say about it? I mean, you know, nothing you can say. That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. You know, we used to say this. We'll say, well, all roads don't lead to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And in that context, we understand that to be true. But all roads actually do lead to God. You're going to stand before God either way. Whatever road you choose. If you choose Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and he's going to be your Savior. And he is your Savior. If you choose any other way, you're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And Jesus Christ will be there, be the judge. He'll be the righteous judge, and he'll be a judge. All of them lead to God. It's just in what context do these roads lead to God? Some will stand in his presence with their sins forgiven, and some will stand in his presence with their sins unforgiven. But I'm going to say all people will stand in his presence. A lot of people are living their lives, though, today like they're never going to have to give an account. You know, one of the things, I was reading a book, it's deeper thinking and thought, and people have a sense of security. This is human nature, psychology, I guess. People get a sense of security with familiarity or repetition, where, like, when something's never happened. Like, you know, people that leave their front door open all the time because nobody's ever broke in, and then they come home and find out somebody's in the house. False sense of security, Christine. But you know, there was people, remember back in Noah's day, if flood was, it had never rained. But the rain came. Huh? But the security was, it never happened before. It's never happened before. There was people, I think in 1st or 2nd Timothy says, in the last days that scoffers will come and say, and where is the appearing? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I don't have all the words. But where's his appearing? In other words, what they're saying is, where's the Lord's coming back? You know, they've been preaching this for years, and he had never come back. And guess what? He's coming back. Huh? Just because it never has happened doesn't mean that it's not going to, right? Just, you know, and so, but what happens? People get secure in that. Hey, the sun came up this morning, didn't it? And how many people are going to go to bed and think, you know what? The sun's going to come up tomorrow. Well, the sun might come up, but it doesn't mean you're going to be breathing when it does. Huh? The sun might come up tomorrow, and the sun might not come up tomorrow, and the Lord might come back before the sun comes up tomorrow. I mean, there's a lot of things that could. We don't have a guarantee about that. And so, you know, that's a false sense of security. And I think sometimes, with, you know what, we put off and we don't want to think about certain things, and I think even Christian people think, you know what, I'm saved, I'm going to get to heaven, that's it. But I still think it's going to be a different thought when you stand even before the on that judgment day, the judgment seat. You're going to stand at the judgment seat and for rewards, and God's going to say, "Why, you know what? Why didn't you do? I don't know that there will be tears." It says no tears. I don't know. You know, I don't know how that's going to be, but I don't think that'll be a good deal. Judgment, great white throne judgment. Just think of all the people that heard. They know the gospel. They've heard this message like this. And they realize that they're standing at the great white throne judgment. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Because they know they're doomed. They're doomed. It's going to happen. All of it's going to happen one day. And it's the truth. And the Lord's coming back. God's keeping records. God's keeping records either way. And that's something I think, I don't know, you know, you depend on how you want to look at it. It could encourage you as a believer, you know what? That should be an enticement or an encouragement to serve God, knowing that. Or a lost person, you think, well, maybe you scared somebody. Maybe somebody thinks, oh, you know, I don't know. Well, but you know, it's got to be the truth, right? It's the truth. You got to tell people the truth. And there's, you know, and warn them that this is what's going to happen. That, you know, you're going to give an account of your life. And it's going to be over quicker than you think. Amen? Come on down here, Paul. I'm about done. God's keeping records. Like I said, not a real long message. It's something I had for a Sunday night a couple weeks ago.